visit from the neighbors, 17 months in the making. Back in business at the border as fully vaccinated Americans get their chance to cross into Canada.
Whether by land, sea, or air, this loosening of restrictions leading to reunions and relief. But for now, it remains a one-way street. Good evening. There are still requirements, but these new rules make it much easier for those considered fully dosed.
And now many Canadians are wondering when they can pack their bags to head stateside. We begin our coverage with CTV's Austin Delaney live at Pearson tonight. Austin.
Well, those first flights in from the United States this morning, full of Americans, fully vaccinated, not having to quarantine for 14 days, and able to see family here in Toronto they haven't seen in person for a very long time.
God.
Long-awaited reunions at Pearson as Americans find it easier to visit Canadian family again.
After all this time.
The Bell family have not seen each other since COVID travel restrictions were imposed.
It's a good feeling. It's a great feeling, and I'm happy.
Amazing. I haven't seen her since what? 2019.
American travel was restricted to essential visits only.
So I tried to come in here twice. They didn't let me. So today was pretty easy to get in.
The arrivals board beginning to see some signs of life again, especially flights coming in from the U.S. lighting up the screen. Anna, coming from NYC, jumping at the chance to visit.
I have a lot of loved ones in Canada, so I was looking forward to coming back.
As of today, American citizens and permanent residents of the U.S. may be allowed into Canada if they reside in the U.S. and are traveling from the U.S. They provide proof that they are fully vaccinated at least 14 days with any of the four vaccines approved by Health Canada, and proof of a negative COVID-19 test result taken prior to entry.
Is there going to be risk associated with this? Yes, to a small degree, but I think you're using travelers that are fully vaccinated. By definition, these travelers, A, have a lower likelihood of acquiring COVID-19, B, have a lower likelihood of transmitting COVID-19.
But not everyone is pleased with the ease in travel restrictions.
And I think that the way things are right now, we should have just kept everyone out until everyone in this country was completely vaccinated. I think that it's an unnecessary risk.
The risk is low, say experts.
It is a risk factor. But remember, people can get infected at any time. And so, you know, yes, their travel might put them at a slightly higher risk. We know in airport screening studies, it's about 2 to 3% of people that come off a plane that have COVID-19.
Still, a bad taste left in the mouths of some Canadian travelers at the airport, wondering why they cannot cross into the U.S. by car while Americans can drive here.
I don't agree with it, to be quite frank. Like, I don't agree with the fact that they can come and we can't, whereas what justifies us finally being able to go there? Because people can keep coming up with reasons beyond excuses for, like, the different types of vaccines.
The U.S. administration is concerned about the spread of the Delta variant.
And I just want to show you something here at Pearson, because we haven't seen this in a long time. Take a look behind me here. This is these cars, these parked cars. They wrap right around the terminal. These are people picking up passengers. Things are changing at the terminal. More people are coming in, more flights are coming in, and there are more people traveling. Going live, I'm Austin Delaney.
Thank you, Austin. From the airport to the land crossing, where there's been a steady flow of traffic all day.
And that's a pretty sight for those who depend on cross-border travel. This is a moment they've been waiting for. CTV's John Musselman is live in Niagara Falls with more. John.
Well, hi, Nathan. We met people reuniting with family members on this side of the border. We also met some tourists from Dallas who have never been to Canada, and today was the day they made that trip.
The lineup spanned half the length of the Rainbow Bridge. Fully vaccinated, non-essential American travelers welcomed back to Canada for the first time in more than 17 months.
I'm from Stewartstrap, Virginia. I'm traveling to Milbank, which is close to Kitchener-Waterloo, to see my girlfriend. But, you know, crossing the border was fairly straightforward this morning. Just had to wait about an hour.
I mean, I've never been to Canada, so I think it's pretty cool. You know, I just kind of wanted to visit.
These Americans had to prove they were fully vaccinated and show proof of a negative test. Many we spoke to were reuniting with family members on the Canadian side or returning to cottages they haven't been able to access in a year and a half.
Evie!
This woman was waiting to reunite with her daughter, who's been in Buffalo for the last 3 months at a swim school. She watched her daughter walk back to Canada across the Rainbow Bridge.
Oh, I can't wait to give her a huge hug. My husband's waiting in the car because there's really kind of no parking around here, so he's kind of missing the moment, but I'm just so excited to see her.
The reopening of the border is a huge relief for the restaurants, hotels, and shops on Clifton Hill that rely heavily on tourism. Today, the street was bustling with visitors, mostly Canadians. But shop owners say the Americans will be back soon.
Oh, my God. It was a nightmare. We were closed for almost 16 months. It's a nightmare for businesses, for us personally, emotionally, physically, everything. I'm happy to be back.
The duty-free shop near the Rainbow Bridge was closed for more than 500 days. They had to lay off staff and grocery stock had to be thrown out. GM Steve Richardson says there is renewed hope here now.
We've been waiting for this for a very long time. It's good to get the engine rolling. The floodgates will open up and, you know, as long as it's done safe, we'll survive.
The mayor of Niagara Falls says 40,000 people in this border community rely on tourism to earn a living.
So when you turn the taps of tourism off, you shut the border down, it has an overnight devastating effect. And in business, it's hard enough to survive under the best of times. We have been under the worst of times.
At this point, the land border traffic remains one way as the United States has not reopened its border to non-essential Canadian travelers.
And no doubt there is concern about the Delta variant on this side of the border and across that bridge. Still, a lot of the people, the businesses here, say they need these Americans coming over to keep these businesses going. Reporting live in Niagara Falls, I'm John Musselman. I'll send it back to you.
Thank you, John. Meanwhile, this was the scene today at the Windsor land border crossing from Detroit. Americans crossing from the U.S. side say they were bracing for long lines, but for many, it only took minutes to get cleared to enter Canada. And our online team has a full list of the updated rules for cross-border travel. You can find all those details at ctvnewstoronto.ca.
Also tonight, calling code red on climate. The deepening crisis accelerating at an alarming pace. The new report highlighting the potential consequences in the years ahead if we don't commit to major and meaningful change. It was public and it was extreme. A weekend shooting in the downtown core. 4 people hit, 2 people killed.
In a moment, you will see chilling security video taken just seconds after the shots were fired. CTV's Janice Goulding is live on Spadina near Nassau with more tonight. Janice.
Michelle, area residents say they are very upset about what happened here, especially given this is not the first fatal shooting to take place in this area. In fact, some say they are so upset they intend to move as soon as they can.
This surveillance video shows 2 women and a man running as shots ring out. And here again in slow motion, you can see the man turn back and return to the scene. He reappears on camera about 30 seconds later, his arm around another man who has been shot in the left shoulder. Just 1 of 4 shooting victims, 2 of whom would not survive.
See right there? That identical. Out over that way.
Witnesses heard as many as 8 shots fired, with 3 stray bullets blasting clear across Spadina, striking Tony Louis Tavern.
Oh, I think we're getting more and more crime in the area, and we have to be careful.
Louis' business was closed when the gunfire erupted about 10 minutes before 6 a.m.
I see markers by the police around this whole intersection.
But that's when Alex, an area resident of 21 years, normally walks his dog.
I'm really upset. I'm going to move out. As soon as I can, I'm going to move out. It might take me a year, but I'm tired. This area used to be really nice. It's just too risky, you know, and the children are on the street. I find this horrible.
When police arrived, they found 4 men with gunshot wounds. 27-year-old Anthony Dang of Markham and 32-year-old Z-Tan, 32 of Richmond Hill, would be pronounced dead at the scene.
It appeared the 4 men were socializing at the time. This occurred outside, and it appears that 2 men did approach the group. They both had firearms and they began firing into the group of men who were socializing.
Meanwhile, a 31-year-old man from Markham and a 43-year-old BC man were taken to hospital. 1 man was treated and released, with another still in a local trauma center.
Shocked, honestly. I live really close in the area and I walk by this corner basically every day, so that's really scary. I'm shocked. I'm shooken up.
And I literally just left from my home an hour after. So, yeah, it could happen anytime in this area.
This is not the first time the area has seen gunfire. 5 men were shot in January 2016, again in front of New Ho King Restaurant. 2 men in that incident would also die.
Right here, I think that's a hip and right here as well.
Tony Louis says stray bullets don't have eyes. And the chair of the Chinatown BIA says all those who operate businesses in the area know there is danger lurking.
Well, I think we need additional police presence.
Police say it is too early to determine at this point if this was a targeted attack. The two suspects were wearing dark clothing and face masks. They were last seen fleeing northbound on Spadina Avenue. Anyone who knew the deceased or their whereabouts prior to the shooting is asked to contact Toronto Police to try to shed some light on what happened here. Also, if you have any surveillance or dash cam video, you are also asked to contact police. Again, the shooting happened at about 10 minutes to 6 a.m. Reporting live from Janice Golding, now back to Michelle.
Thank you, Janice. Elsewhere, a 17-year-old boy shot and killed in Stony Creek has been identified as a recent high school graduate looking forward to his future. Hamilton police released these images of Keaton Bond, describing him as a loving son and brother who wanted to follow in his grandfather's footsteps and become an electrician. He died in a shooting Friday night in a parking lot on Mud Street. A 25-year-old man was also hurt but has been released from hospital. No arrests have been made.
All right, to the forecast, hot, humid, and hazy, but for how long? Lindsay Morrison is here with a look at the current conditions. Lindsay.
Well, Nathan, it is all of those things and will continue to be over the next couple of days here in the GTA. Let's take a look at some current temperatures. It is 30 degrees right now in Vaughan. It's 31 in Burlington. It's 32 in Niagara Falls. And it feels like 40 just about everywhere. We made it to an afternoon high of 31 at Pearson International. We've dropped down to about 29, but we've got mainly sunny skies out there. That's not the case everywhere, though. There is a severe thunderstorm warning in effect for parts of Cottage Country. Just want to show you the current satellite and radar here. We are looking at potential for thunderstorms through the night tonight around Berks Falls and really over the next couple of days around the GTA. We'll talk about your unsettled but hot and hazy weather forecast coming up. But for now, Michelle, I'll send it over to you.
Thank you, Lindsay. It's being called a code red for humanity.
There are renewed calls for urgent action following today's release of a UN report on climate change. CTV's Heather Butts has the details.
From hundreds of raging wildfires to fatal floods, scientists say humans are to blame.
It is indisputable that human activities are causing climate change and making extreme weather events more frequent and severe.
The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change laid out a number of scenarios based on how much carbon emissions are cut. All point to the world crossing the 1.5-degree warming mark in the 2030s, earlier than some past predictions.
The emissions have grown more rapidly than we ever expected in 1979.
The 2015 Paris Climate Agreement saw world leaders agree to try to limit warming to 1.5 degrees. The world has already warmed nearly 1.1 degrees Celsius since then.
If we want to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees, we need to make rapid and deep cuts in emissions, getting to net zero by the middle of the century.
Activists say world leaders can't waste time and money on false solutions.
Now we need governments to take the climate crisis seriously, treat it like an emergency, just like they did with COVID-19, and really ramp up action.
There is hope for that change.
The youth all across the world are using the science to drive, you know, a push for action.
Without it, dire consequences. The report says ice melt and sea level rise are already accelerating.
A major climate conference will be held in Scotland this fall. That's where the UN will try to get world leaders to sign on for more ambitious climate action targets. This report will be a toolbox for negotiations. Heather Butts, CTV News, Toronto.
The impact of the report's findings are already being felt around the world.
Deadly heat waves, wildfires, and droughts are all occurring more frequently as the planet warms. CTV's Raheem Ladani is in studio tonight with us with more. Raheem.
Well, Michelle and Nathan, those types of extreme weather events you just mentioned, the report found that they'll not only hit places more often, but that there will be multiple climate disasters at once, and we're already seeing the impacts from as far as India to right here in Toronto.
The steamy conditions hitting Toronto may be uncomfortable for some, but it's an improvement to earlier this summer.
We had smoke billowing into the city from wildfires in northwestern Ontario. So Canadians all across this country have been touched by climate change in the last few months in an unprecedented way.
On the West Coast, more than 1,400 wildfires have burned this year, nearly the amount from the previous 2 years combined.
a graphic reminder of the consequences of climate change.
When we burn fossil fuels, things like oil and gas and coal, that we are putting carbon into the atmosphere and it is destabilizing our climate.
On Greece's second largest island, fires have forced thousands from their homes as the country deals with its most severe heat wave in three decades. In Northern California, the Dixie Fire has grown to more than twice the size of New York City. And in India, flooding and increased rainfall events are expected to grow, all linked to global warming.
Basically, the way the Gulf Stream works is that it's either on or it's off. And if you get to too warm a temperature, it's not that it just becomes 80% of what it was before. It just doesn't turn on. And so you don't get that Gulf Stream. You get a very, very weak flow. And that's going to have implications for places like Mumbai. It's going to be all over the world.
Consequences that will occur more frequently unless action is taken.
And Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is also weighing in, tweeting that Canada is warming at nearly twice the global rate, adding that today's report makes clear action cannot be delayed. Reporting live, I'm Raheem Ladani-Michel. Back to you.
Thank you, Raheem. Still ahead, a $35 million secret. Why this 29-year-old lottery winner didn't tell a soul after hitting a life-changing jackpot. But turning to the COVID-19 picture in Ontario tonight.
The province seeing a decrease in new cases compared to the weekend. Public Health Ontario reporting 325 new cases today, bringing the province's total to nearly 553,000 over the course of the pandemic. 192 more cases are considered resolved, raising that figure to more than 541,000. No new deaths are linked to the virus today, but 9,407 lives have been lost to COVID-19 in Ontario.
Today's regional breakdown includes 90 new cases in the city of Toronto, with 47 in Peel Region and 29 in both York and Hamilton. There are 14 new cases in Durham Region, 12 in Halton, and 6 logged in Niagara.
Those numbers are the result of nearly 16,000 tests over the last 24 hours. The province's positivity rate is now sitting at 2.3%, and more than 4,700 tests remain under investigation. Public health experts say that daily count only tells part of the story.
There's a need for a big-picture approach when it comes to interpreting Ontario's fight against the virus. CTV's Natalie Johnson has more.
A year after this pro tennis tournament was canceled due to COVID-19, the National Bank Open is now in full swing. But as big events return and Ontario opens up, COVID counts are creeping upwards. 325 new cases today, along with the highest test positivity rate since late June.
We are, you know, about 2-3 weeks after we've been opening up more, so I would expect numbers to go up. But also, not as many people are getting those tests unless they are particularly concerned.
The main thing to look for now is the trend. So you would have to look at the weekly trend or, you know, trend after 2 weeks to really see whether there is a real increase in the number of cases.
The province's seven-day average is now 283 new cases a day, compared to 189 just over a week ago.
It really concerns me. I mean, I expected these kind of numbers in September when we were reopening schools and people were moving more indoors. So I was pretty surprised to see the last week what the numbers were and how fast they jumped.
Regardless of how many of us have been vaccinated, given the absolute number of unvaccinated individuals, we are going to see transmission of this very, very contagious virus, especially as there's more opportunities for this virus to be transmitted as the country is in various stages of reopening.
And so there remains a public health push to keep vaccines going into arms. Back at the Aviva Centre, tennis ticket holders were offered first or second doses through a mobile clinic on site, serving up shots to help ensure big events like this are here to stay. Natalie Johnson, CTV News.
And on the vaccination front, nearly 30,000 shots were administered yesterday, raising the total to more than 19.2 million since the rollout started. Roughly 5,700 of those shots were first doses, meaning more than 10.5 million people are at least partially vaccinated. And more than 24,000 of yesterday's doses were second shots. That means 9.3 million people in Ontario are now fully vaccinated. Meanwhile, we're learning more about cases in licensed child care facilities. CTV's John Woodward joins us outside an Etobicoke daycare that faced a troubling few days, John.
Michelle, parents we talked to outside this daycare said they were surprised at how swiftly the virus spread.
Ontario's largest outbreak in months at a licensed childcare setting, 12 cases, was here at the Grand Avenue Montessori School in Etobicoke last week.
This school has done everything they possibly can throughout the pandemic. They've been on top of it if a kid even has a sniffle.
Parents say the staff limited it to just one of the two buildings, but with cases rising, it's an uphill battle.
The provincial government's plans to protect students in schools across Ontario, it makes you realize how little they've done and how at risk the populations are.
Provincial data show the seven-day average of new cases related to licensed childcare centres across Ontario is about 11. That's down from their high of about 121 in mid-April, but up from a low of about 4 in July. And the population of these centres is a lot like those in early grades, a group that is not eligible for vaccinations, so needs protections another way.
The daycare cases are going up because we are relaxing the public health measures.
The Registered Nurses of Ontario calling for all educators and healthcare workers to have mandatory vaccinations to reduce the risks, but they say schools could imitate some daycare successes.
The daycares are doing right in smaller class sizes.
The societal level measures and the school level measures, particularly for the youngest age groups, need to be very, very strong.
Parent Bronwyn Alsop hopes schools can stay open anyway to avoid lost instruction that is hitting poorer families hardest.
We are going to see outbreaks in daycares. We are going to be seeing outbreaks in schools. We're going to be seeing outbreaks in restaurants. We're going to be seeing this across the board, and we have to go in expecting this and handle when it happens effectively.
It definitely does seem to be spreading very fast.
Another daycare we watch in Milton is coming out of an outbreak of 8 cases. Manager Sonia Jora credits her staff's quick thinking and that they are fully vaccinated.
It's swift action that helped us from having it go to other homes and spreading further.
Parents hoping for the best, fearing for the worst.
All staff at licensed childcare facilities must wear masks and they have to screen everybody for symptoms before they arrive. But as we've seen, the virus could still get in. Reporting live from Etobicoke, I'm John Woodward. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, John. Next to the new pandemic challenge facing many local restaurants, turns out the return of diners is only one part of the recovery.
Bringing back workers is also becoming an issue. And for some, it could mean the doors never reopen. CTV's Beth McDonnell reports.
Summer cottagers have returned to the Kawarthas, but some of the favorite spots to eat can't operate at the old hours.
Basically, we've closed 5 shifts, with being Sunday all day and then our Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday lunches. And this is a prime time of year for us.
Lakefield Restaurant has been trying to hire more staff while employees worked long hours to keep up with demand, but was forced to change course.
Well, I'm down probably 3 cooks in my kitchen right now, so it gets tough. And you can't keep asking them to perform at that level and expect the same thing coming out of the kitchen.
Almost always closed, 2020.
After long indoor dining shutdowns in Toronto, the Lakeview is no longer always open. Right now, its hours have been reduced by more than half because of staffing shortages. It's looking forward to making milkshakes around the clock once again if it can find the people, and says it's willing to train anyone.
I hired my neighbor's son because I wasn't getting any hits on Indeed. We are actively hiring. There's been a really slow start into phase 3. It's challenging.
Restaurants Canada says the problem goes beyond Ottawa extending employment insurance benefits, which can provide workers affected by COVID thousands of dollars a month.
The hesitation in case we get a fourth wave and they have to close again. Some people are wondering whether they want to take these jobs. The other thing that they're facing is that they're trying to get people in the middle of the summer. They didn't start looking until near the end of July. People had already made plans.
The advocacy group says the biggest help would be if the Ontario government ensured restaurants stayed open moving forward during the pandemic.
Oh yeah, here's a dishwasher that decided to not show up.
The shortage means some owners, like at this Queen West French Bistro, are stepping up to fill shifts and get work done.
Noon till 4 a.m. is not strange for us. Even after you've locked up, hauled in all the tables and chairs from outside, you look at a sink full of dishes that has to be done.
Short term, there are no guarantees about possible fourth wave closures. With that in mind, some restaurateurs say it's going to take years before staffing levels and the industry fully bounces back. Beth McDonnell, CTV News.
In the U.S., COVID-19 vaccinations may soon be mandatory for all members of the armed forces. The Pentagon is going to seek approval from the Biden administration. The Defense Department wants members to roll up their sleeves by the middle of September. About half the American armed forces are already fully vaccinated, but that does not include members of the National Guard and reserve members who are double vaxxed. Last month, the government said federal workers must provide proof of vaccination or face regular testing.
In New York, state legislators say they'll recommend whether to impeach Andrew Cuomo within several weeks. An independent probe concluded the governor sexually harassed 11 women.
The findings, the content of the report are deeply disturbing. We will review that report in detail, including the underlying evidence, and consider it together with this committee's own independent investigation.
The committee met as one of Cuomo's accusers is speaking publicly for the first time. Former executive assistant Brittany Camiso has filed a criminal complaint. She says the governor groped her at the executive mansion last November. Camiso said today Cuomo's advances grew bolder over time, and she alleges she was afraid to come forward due to his power. She insists he needs to be held accountable, saying what he did to her was a crime. Yesterday, a top aide to the governor resigned in the wake of the allegations.
Police in Italy are investigating after an apparent threat against the Pope. An envelope with three bullets inside was intercepted overnight at a mail sorting plant near Milan. It was addressed to Pope Francis, Vatican City, and St. Peter's Square. The envelope also contained a message referring to financial operations at the Vatican. It was mailed from France.
Europe's largest active volcano is at it again. Mount Etna has blown its stack, spewing lava onto the surrounding landscape. But this latest activity eventually stopped earlier today. There was no impact on the operations of the nearby Catania airport, and nearby villages were not hit. Etna is the biggest of Italy's three active volcanoes. It must not have been easy, but Gino Torres managed to sit on a multi-million dollar secret for more than 6 weeks.
The 29-year-old Toronto man picked up his check today after winning the Lotto Max jackpot. Torres is taking home $35 million after splitting the June 22nd jackpot with another winner from BC. The recent college graduate says he wanted to keep the big news to himself until he could make sure it was real. Torres is going to take his time figuring out what to do with all that money. But his priorities include family, charity, traveling, and home redecoration.
Can you imagine? Still ahead, sludge pirates searching for treasure, but a recent discovery found themselves face to face with Toronto police. Scott Lightfoot will explain coming up.
And I'm Pat Foran. Coming up on Consumer Alert, the Ontario government and the province's optometrists remain far apart regarding a billing dispute. Eye doctors say if they don't get a new funding deal by September 1st, they'll withdraw services for millions of patients. I'll have my report. That's just ahead.
Today's provincial hotspot, Port Weller, at nearly 33 degrees. We made it to about 31 in the city of Toronto. That's not exactly close to the record high of 37, but it sure felt like 37. In fact, it felt like 40 through a majority of the day. Tonight's overnight lows, not so low, remaining in the 20s, continuing to feel close to 30 once you factor in that humidity. And this is just the beginning. Air conditioners are going to be working overtime this week. Here are some other ways that you can beat the heat, especially if you don't have access to air conditioning. In addition to it being hot and humid and hazy, we are also looking at potential for thunderstorms as early as overnight tonight, but even more so into the day tomorrow. We'll show you when we have the best opportunity for maybe a few rumbles of flashes of lightning and strong winds. That's coming up here with a full look at your weather forecast. You're watching CTV News. We'll be right back.
The province's optometrists are in a battle with the Ontario government over OHIP funding. And if eye doctors don't get what they want, they're threatening to withdraw services.
The health ministry says it's willing to appoint a mediator to bring an end to the dispute, but there is still no end in sight. Pat Foran has our story on Consumer Alert. Pat.
Thanks, Nathan and Michelle. The Ontario government and optometrists can't see eye to eye when it comes to funding. Optometrists say they've been underpaid for decades, and they've set a deadline of September 1st for more money, or they say they'll withdraw their services. The Ontario Association of Optometrists says it's been trying to get the province to negotiate higher OHIP payments for eye exams without success. The group says it's been left no other option but to withdraw services if there isn't a new funding model.
We really feel like they've pushed us up against a wall and we don't have any other choice.
Ontario optometrists say they're the lowest paid in the country. The group says for OHIP eye exams, the Ontario government paid an average of $39.15 in 1989. 32 years later, the government is paying $44.65, about $5 more. Optometrists say during that time, staff salaries, operating costs, and utilities have gone up dramatically. The group says if it withdraws services September 1st, it will affect patients under 20, over 65, and adults with eye conditions.
We provide around 6 million eye exams annually in the province, and over 4 million of those are OHIP insured. So OHIP patients make up over 70% of the people that we see in our practices.
The group has a Save Eye Care campaign and says over 100,000 people have emailed and sent letters asking the government to reach a fair settlement. On its website, it says time is running out. CTV News reached out to the Ministry of Health and a spokesperson said the ministry and the Ontario Association of Optometrists resumed discussions and that they've proposed to engage a third-party expert mediator to assist us in finding a resolution and added, we are ready to keep talking. Optometrists say they're concerned but hopeful an agreement can be reached before their deadline.
We hope that they commit to actually fully funding the operating costs for these services for people and that they enter a formal negotiation process like they do with other healthcare providers in the province.
And if eye doctors did withdraw their services, patients would not be able to pay for eye exams even if they wanted to. There is a law that prohibits patients paying for a service that's covered by OHIP. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
Typically, the evening hours bring some relief from the heat, but there's not much of that tonight. It's still very hot.
Yeah, plus with that humidex, it feels hotter than the actual temperature, Lindsay.
It's so true. And, you know, I was just reflecting on the fact that the last week of July and first week of August are traditionally our hottest weeks of the entire year. Not so much the case this year. We experienced a little bit of a cool stretch. In fact, the last time we hit 30 degrees here in the city of Toronto was 2 weeks ago today, but it happened this afternoon, and it's likely going to happen again later this week with, yes, it feeling much warmer once you factor in that humidity. Weather is brought to you by Trane. For home comfort, cooling, and clean air, it's hard to stop a Trane. It will be warm through these evening hours and warm through the overnight too. 23 is the forecast low, continuing to feel like 31. It's going to be dry in most parts of the GTA. There's a slight risk of a thunderstorm, but again, most communities will stay dry through tonight. Different story into tomorrow. 70% chance of showers or thunderstorms, and it will be hot. Once again, we're expecting to climb to 30, and it will feel something like 38 once you factor in the humidity. This is our upper air pattern. We've got a little bit of a trough developing. Eventually, we will see cooler weather as we make our way closer to next weekend, but ahead of that, some instability and some thunderstorms. You can see them making their way through parts of cottage country at this hour, as well as southwestern Ontario, less severe in that part of the province. But we do have unsettled weather on the way. We've got a warm front that's going to swing through tomorrow. This is going to bring us potential for thunderstorms even in the morning hours. So here's our first window of opportunity as we make our way into tomorrow. So we've paused it around 9 a.m. just to show you between 9, 10, maybe into the early part of the afternoon. And then as we make our way into the evening, another round of storms possible. Not everyone is going to be impacted by these, but the potential is there. Wednesday, similar situation. We see storms starting to develop into the morning. morning hours, and then perhaps again as we make our way into the evening. Strong thunderstorms possible with a couple of different windows as we make our way through the next 7 days. So it's hot, it's hazy, it's humid, and it's potentially stormy as well. We get a little bit of relief from the heat as we make our way into Friday, and I've already got my eye on next weekend. It's looking not too bad at this point. Again, some relief from the heat and mainly sunny skies. That would be a nice change from the last couple of weeks. That's your look at the weather for now. Nathan, over to you.
All right, thank you, Lindsay. Also tonight, promoting body positivity, the new tool offering important guidance to parents to support their kids as they head back to school. It's been months since many kids have seen more than just the faces of their classmates on a small screen.
Some may have experienced significant body changes, but parents often have a hard time addressing that topic. Our health reporter Pauline Chan tells us about a new tool to help.
Christine Hill has four children, all of whom have a metabolic condition that affects their muscles. And for Emma, who's also autistic, exercise and body image can be a difficult topic.
I'd previously gone looking for resources, looking online, looking for books to help guide me to make sure that I'm having conversations in the most respectful and forward-thinking way.
Hill helped create a new tool put together by Holland Bloorview Kids Rehab called Fostering Positive Weight-Related Conversations.
It's about all bodies are good bodies.
Researcher Amy McPherson says even the most well-intentioned parent can have a hard time opening a conversation about a child's body image. The guide offers suggestions on how to start talking, what kind of language to use, and more.
It does include children with and without disabilities.
Hill says with kids going back to the classroom, body image can be a real source of stress.
Kids will have gone through growth spurts. Some may have gone through puberty since they've seen each other last. And it concerns us that when our kids and our teens get back together, that they may be inclined to comment on how each other look.
And while teens are often thought of as being very self-conscious, McPherson says even younger children are aware of body image through social media. Obesity Canada shows elementary students with obesity are 63% more likely to be bullied.
And so I think we have to be mindful to also give them the building blocks early on for them to have body confidence.
Hill hopes the guide will be used by parents, but also doctors' offices and schools.
Will make significant change in the way our kids and youth think about themselves and their body image.
The Body Positive Conversations Guide can be found at the Holland Bloorview website. Pauline Chan, CTV News.
The entertainment world is mourning the loss of well-known television actor Marky Post. Post played the public defender in the 1980s sitcom Night Court for 7 seasons and was a regular presence on TV for 4 decades. She appeared on several TV shows from Cheers to Scrubs. Her manager said Post died yesterday in Los Angeles after a years-long battle with cancer. She was 70.
Gordon Lightfoot is recovering in a Toronto hospital after a fall. The Canadian singer-songwriter fractured his wrist last week at his home. Lightfoot underwent emergency surgery and is expected to take 8 weeks for recovery. So the 82-year-old has postponed a number of upcoming concerts, most of them in the U.S. An August 20th show in Orillia is also impacted, but has not been rescheduled yet.
There's no CNE again this year, but an annual tradition down at the waterfront is going ahead. The Canadian International Air Show will take flight on Labor Day weekend, but there will be some changes. There won't be the usual ticketed viewing area. Instead, a narration will be streamed live. There'll also be 14 kilometers of public viewing space between the Humber Bridge and Toronto's Billy Bishop Airport to accommodate physical distancing. Canada Snowbirds will headline the show.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Lastman's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
CTV Tonight. Kick back and relax. We've got a great lineup of shows to ease you into the week. It all starts at 7 tonight, right here on CTV.
It's a good feeling. It's a great feeling, and I'm happy.
Amazing. Amazing. I haven't seen her since what? 2019.
Updating our top stories starting today, fully vaccinated American citizens and permanent residents are allowed into Canada. But some say it's too soon. Others aren't happy because Canadians are banned from driving into the U.S.
It appears that two men did approach the group. They both had firearms and they began firing into the group of men who were socializing.
Video of the panic as bullets are fired during a deadly shooting on Spadina. Two men are killed, two others wounded. The suspects fled. Police aren't sure whether this was a targeted attack.
It is indisputable that human activities are causing climate change and making extreme weather events more frequent and severe.
An urgent call to action following the release today of a new report on climate change. It concludes we will see the world cross the 1.5-degree threshold in the 2030s. That is sooner than previous predictions. And remember to follow us on social media and keep up to date day and night through our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca. And if you ever have a news tip, photos, or video of breaking news, let us know.
The big change at the border is getting plenty of attention.
And that's the focus of a discussion on CP24 tonight. We're joined by Christina Tenaglia. Hi, Christina. You're getting reaction from tourism officials in border communities, along with a panel of doctors.
Yeah, good evening, Michelle. Good evening, Nathan. Look, the Canada-U.S. border has been closed when you consider that Americans could not drive to this side of the border for the last 17 months. This is unprecedented, and it has had a devastating impact on Ontario, specifically Ontario's border communities. Consider Niagara Falls, for example. Some 14 million tourists visited Niagara Falls annually before the pandemic. And of course, that has not been the case in the last year and a half. The city of Niagara Falls is so devastated due to COVID-19 economically that some 32,000 people were laid off in Niagara Falls between about March and June of last year. So with the reopened border, will the economy recover? We're going to talk about that. Also consider that a number of infectious disease specialists here in Ontario are saying we're now in the fourth wave. So what does that mean? We will talk about that coming up at 7 o'clock.
Thank you, Christina. Lots to look forward to. And CP24 tonight airs immediately following this newscast on CP24 from 7 to 9.
On the markets, the Canadian dollar was down 13 basis points to 79.50 U.S. American benchmark oil slid $1.80 a barrel to close at 66.48. And the TSX Composite Index lost 38 points to close at 20,437.
Cruise ship lines in Florida will be allowed to ensure passengers are vaccinated. A federal judge has temporarily blocked a state law that prevented Norwegian from asking customers if they're inoculated. The judge says the law appears unconstitutional and won't likely hold up in court. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed the ban on so-called vaccine passports. He said he wants to protect medical privacy and prevent discrimination.
After the break, a pandemic project leading to some interesting finds along the water. And sometimes they're way more than you bargain for.
Finally tonight, the startling haul for a pair of magnet fishers in Lake Ontario.
The so-called sludge pirates are used to finding all sorts of unique things, but no one was expecting what came to the surface on a recent outing. CTV's Scott Lightfoot reports.
They are friends, actors, and magnet fishers.
The magnets we use are 2,600 pounds, so they can pull 1,300 pounds on either side. They're double-sided. And we take that and we throw that into places like this and see what we can find out of the water.
It was a hobby this Toronto pair discovered during the pandemic on YouTube, and something they have now turned into their own YouTube show, calling themselves Sludge Pirates. Admittedly, many of their finds are garbage.
Throughout the garbage, we found, you know, really cool old knives. We found like really old beer cans, like 50, 60, 70-year-old beer cans. Found a safe in the Don River.
We have no idea sometimes you pull out these things, you have no idea what they are. But, you know, you kind of just think everything's got a story.
The most unusual story pulled from the waters of Lake Ontario off the pier at the foot of Spadina several weeks ago.
We got right here.
What's that?
What the?
That's a gun.
No.
The pair found the barrel of a long gun.
And we thought at first it was just a bent over piece of rebar because our brains wouldn't allow us to to think that it was a gun.
An intriguing find, until they put their magnet back in the water.
Oh my God, Evan. Oh my God, Evan, that's a bloody full one.
Moments later, a second gun. This one appearing fully intact, though covered in zebra mussels.
Well, that's where we thought it ended. We thought it ended with just the two items. We were really excited. But Neil threw his magnet in again and connected with another gun.
Then a third, a fourth, and a fifth. All long guns, all old, and all appearing to have been in the water for some time.
Well, you just can't believe it. I mean, you can't believe it.
The unusual find also attracted some attention.
We were just magnet fishing. We were just threw magnets out and we started pulling them off.
People in the area called police, who arrived by boat.
And they asked us, you didn't happen to catch any rifles, did you? And we said, yes, officers, we did catch some rifles.
The rifles remain in Toronto police possession. The pair may get them back if they're not found to be connected to any crimes. In the meantime, they plan to keep exploring the waters around the city and beyond, magnet fishing for fun. And who knows? Maybe another firearm. Scott Lightfoot, CTV News.
All right, we're going to need a follow-up to that story.
Definitely.
I wonder where those guns came from anyway.
Lindsay, can you find us some relief in the weather department?
Well, you might want to go into the water to find some relief, but maybe stay away from that particular area. A backyard swimming pool would be nice on a night like this. So, too, might be a patio. And if that's your cup of tea, here's a look at your forecast through the night tonight. We have potential for thunderstorms over the next couple of days. In fact, we're seeing them right now in places like Parry Sound and Huntsville, and then for areas further north. Here in the GTA, we have an increased risk of storms as we make our way through the day tomorrow, in the morning as well as the afternoon. Forecast daytime high, once again, 30 degrees. Maybe not quite as humid, but we're really just splitting hairs at this point. It will continue to feel like 40 as we make our way into Wednesday and perhaps into Thursday, too. That's the weather, Michelle and Nathan. Over to you.
Thanks, Lindsay. And be sure to join Andrea Case later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
You can also stay up to date by going to our website. And a reminder, CP24 tonight begins momentarily on CP24.
For Lindsay and all of us here at CTV News, have a good night.